Yes, an introduction. It was an intro. I feel like this morning we're an introduction to a series that a series within a series. So I've been working on this mentality, this series, and the thought of what does it mean to live as a Christian, Christian living, the foundations of Christian living as a follower of Jesus. And 2 weeks ago, I shared a message on understanding the authority structure that God has put in place. And we're going to continue with that. I'm going to elaborate a bit on that this morning. But then in 2 weeks, we're going to continue with this authority down sort of the series within this living as a, in the Christian life series. And we're going to look at, I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you at the end of the sermon. But we're going to sort of do a mini series here within a series. So I feel like this morning we're a little bit of an introduction, because I believe there is a reason, and I titled the message this morning, Why God Wants Us to Understand Authority. And the principle of authority is in the Bible. It's in there. It's solid. It's a core truth that the Bible teaches. But I believe there's a reason that the Bible teaches and wants us to understand the concept of authority and living under authority. And so I don't just want to talk about this morning. I'm just going to be really reestablishing this principle of authority. But it is the foundation to a further teaching, which we'll get into later on in the month of September. And that series, by the way, I don't know if it's going to go 2 weeks. I don't know if it's going to go 4 weeks. I don't know if it's going to go 6 weeks. Probably won't go six. But 2 to 4 is my guess. And I say weeks, that's weeks that I preach. That is one of the difficulties about being bivocational and having multiple people on Sunday mornings, is it's tough to do a series because it makes sense to me, but you guys have a lot of other stuff going on in between now and then. So, you know, I could ask you how many of you remember anything from 2 weeks ago? I imagine most of you be scratching your heads and saying, no, I don't. But anyhow, here we go. Why God wants us to understand authority. This week was the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech, I Have a Dream. If you've watched the news or anything, you've seen the controversy that has surrounded that again. However, as I've looked at, you know, over the years, as I've observed this speech and the principles for what Martin Luther King stood for, he's become a man that I have come to greatly respect. I've never done an in-depth study on him, but yet there is some principles that he was solid. And it's interesting to see what our culture has done with his dream. It's become a political football. Can you say amen to this, that in Jesus there is no black and white? Amen? Amen? In fact, that's one of the dreams I have for Maranath, is that we become a culturally diverse church. I dream of that day. Because there is no nationalities in Jesus. There is no division. We're all sinners. We're all, grace is enough for all. Amen? Amen? Come on, you got to be with me here on this one. But yeah. Anyhow, I begin, as I was hearing the news and reading some about the controversy over this, I begin to think, what is God's dream? What is God's dream? And this verse came out to me, and I believe this verse captures God's heart. It's Jeremiah 32:38. Now, this is written during the time when the prophet Jeremiah, when the children of Israel were going to be taken away into captivity, and this is what God was saying, why he was taking them into captivity, and that one day he would bring them back to their homeland, bring them back, and he says, this is what I long for. Is it up there? Yeah, you got that. The heart of God. I believe that this verse is the essence of the heart of God. They will be my people and I will be their God. What God ultimately wants is to be your God. And what God ultimately wants is for you to see Him as your God. In fact, several months ago, Ann Pritchett asked me if behind the sound booth there where that lovely tree sculpture is, if there would be a verse that they could get these stick-on letters and put up there. And Willis and I batted some things around, and this week I began to think, what a verse to put up and to consistently have in our church. In fact, I could run with this. This is the heart of God. This is what He dreams. They will be my people and I will be their God. That's what He wants. How many of you like that verse back there? You like that idea? We're not doing a straw vote here, but anyhow, maybe I'm nuts, but being God's people is us coming under His authority, allowing Him to be our God. This is the essence of Christian living. This is the heart of it. It's not what we do or what we don't do, but it's who is our God deep in our heart. What is it that we really long for? What is it that we want deep within? Do we want God to be our God, or do we want Him to be someone that's there when we need Him, but not really our God? So what does this look like? How do we allow God to be our God? And I believe we're going to look here at four areas of authority that God put in place to help us understand authority. And God put these areas of authority in place as a way for us to model and to live out God being our God. God is a God of authority. The essence and the character of God, and those of you in Creation of Christ class, we will begin to hammer this and understand this, that God is over all. He is an authority. He is an authority. And so as our relationship with Jesus brings us under God's authority, we come under that. So God has established four rubber meets the road practical areas of authority in which we live out. He uses them to teach us, and it allows us to demonstrate our heart's desire to have God be our God. Is that making sense? Okay. When we rebel against these four areas of authority, we are in essence rebelling against God. Okay? Because God has established it. When we move out from under that authority, we are moving out from under God's authority. It's a foundational principle to Christian living. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. Rubber meets the road. This is how we live it out. Let's look at this illustration, this diagram. I'm not real good at PowerPoint, but I hope this communicates the message. God, He has established the home, the church, the government, the workplace, as four areas of authority. Okay? Over us. Over us. However, the Bible is the ultimate authority. And so, let's look at this a little bit. I like the quote at the bottom. It says, human authority in the hands of a skillful God. I like that quote because God has established the home, the church, the government, and workplace as a rubber meets the road method for us to come under authority. I'm hesitating. Because I feel like I'm going to make sure I'm going to be clear of this. Let me start this way. God speaks to us through the Bible, right? The Bible is our ultimate authority. God has established these other authorities as tools to shape and mold us. They are the part of, again, I'll say it, the rubber meets the road part of God's plan for authority. Now, God uses these four areas, and He has established these four areas in the Bible. And this diagram does not do a really good job drawing out, descripting what I'm talking about, but it's the best that my talent could do. But let's think this a little bit through. We could have God, and then the Bible, and then the home church government work. We could have the Bible in between God. But what happens when we live in a home, or we live in a workplace, or we have a government that is not according to the Bible? Are we still under that authority? You see, yes, we are. We are still under that authority. Okay? Because God has established it that way. God does not say you're under the authority of the workplace unless they aren't kind to you. Then you can do what you want. No. We could go to the scripture. That principle is there. The principle is there. So the Bible is the ultimate authority. The only time that we circumvent these four other areas is when the home, the workplace, the government demands us to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. Okay? We could have ungodly parents. We could have a boss, a government, even a church that is not teaching, operating by the Word of God. That does not give us the right to step out from under the authority. It does give us the right at times to move around that authority based on the Word of God. But our heart attitude needs to be staying under the authority of these four areas. We're going to get to some scripture here in just a little bit, but I want to throw this out. Authority is used by God to make us more like Him. Look at this verse. It says Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever He pleases." And I share that verse simply to get this picture. When we think of government, we say, "Lynn, how in the world could you ask me to be under the authority of a government that does not honor God?" I want you to see that God, the king's heart is in the hand of God. And God can take that and He can use that to shape and mold us to be more like Him. And it is not a matter of our rights. It's not a matter of us saying, well, because they're not biblical, I can just do what I want. It is a matter of us having a heart attitude of being under authority. I just have this feeling that there are some of you out there going just like this, but you're not doing it. You're scratching your head saying, "Lynn, I don't get this." Let's move on. Let's maybe this will come clear in just a little bit. This is, I'm frustrated at myself because I don't feel like I'm doing a real good job making this clear, but we're going to move. Let's begin with a home. Let's begin with a home here just a little bit and look at this. The home, it's a structure that God created, established at creation. Okay, God, the home was something that began in Genesis. And man was created first, woman was created from man, children were established under the authority of their parents. And when man sinned, it was, you know, Eve broke that order. Okay, Genesis 2. She ate the fruit. However, God held Adam accountable for that sin, didn't He? Again, the authority structure way back in creation. Eve ate the fruit. Eve was the one who sinned first, but Adam was held accountable. There is that accountability structure in place. Authority means responsibility. We often think of authority as something that, whoa, I got authority, I can do what I want. No, with authority comes responsibility. And such was the case in the garden, such is the case as it is today. The weight of responsibility is on your shoulders with authority. Now, we have a Dear Abby culture in our world today that says the marriage relationship, the home, should be a 50-50. Everybody, you know, let's just figure out it's half and half. Let's get our brains together and we decide what to do. There's a sense, there's a time, but the biblical model is that there is an authority structure in the home. Husband, wife, children. Oh my, that is so culturally out of touch, Lynn. We're teaching the Bible. We're not teaching culture. Now let's look what it looks, let's talk about what this looks like and what the Bible talks, shows us. Men, we have a responsibility in our homes. God has given us that responsibility. He's placed us in a position of authority. But remember that the New Testament model of leadership and authority is what? Servanthood. Servanthood. Our culture has got really frustrated at the church over this teaching because of one reason, that when you take the biblical principles and you apply them selectively with cultural principles, you end up with a mess. When you take biblical principles and you tie them to cultural principles, you end up with a mess if you do it selectively. And so what they have done, they have taken that, you take this mentality of the husband is the head of the home and you tie it to a cultural principle that, well, if I'm the head of the home, then what I want goes and I can say whatever I want and you better do it because the Bible says that I'm in charge. And that just don't work. Amen? It doesn't work. But when you tie the Bible principle that the husband is the head of the home, and you also tie that with that leadership as taught in the Bible is servanthood, suddenly you have a man who is burdened with an incredible responsibility, and that is to be the leader of their home and to serve those who are in the home. Suddenly it begins to work. A principle of authority. One of the classes I was teaching, there's a number of ladies who had been through very difficult marriages. Divorced, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. When I began to teach this principle, I could see it in their faces that there was a hardness that began to develop as if, no, no, not in my experience. Not in my world. My husband was never over me. I don't accept that as God's plan. And then I began to, so I saw it on the faces. I immediately began to show the picture of what a godly husband and father looks like. And suddenly, I began to see tears welling up in their eyes. And I just stopped and I asked the question. I says, how many of you would love to be in a marriage relationship with a husband like that? And they said, yeah. Yeah. You see, God has designed it that way. It's the way He planned it. It's sort of funny. This week, Esther, my sister, was here, and another one of my sisters, Phyllis, was here, and they were doing corn. And I stopped over right before they started just to say hi, chit-chat a little bit there over lunch. They said, Lynn's here. They said, we can get him to unload the corn out of the car because they were in heavy boxes. And I just sort of, off the cuff, just sort of flipped back and said, well, I said, I'd be glad to help you, but I can't because my kids aren't here that I can tell them to go do it. And you know, so many times as husbands, that's the mentality that we get. And that's what we think of authority. We can just go tell everybody what to do. But no, God is calling us to be a servant. To serve. We're going to get to the text here in just a little bit. Ladies,
your life is made up just doing whatever your husband asks, you're missing. There's something missing in the marriage relationship. God has given women a specific role, and it's not servant. It's not just to be at the beck and call of your husband. And I'm not going to take the time this morning to expound on a lot of this. I'm just simply laying a groundwork. Let's go to Ephesians a little bit. Ephesians 5 talks about this, and we're going to... Ephesians is after Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there. Verse 21. The reason I want you to turn, it's going to be on the screen, but I want you to have a pen, be able to underline, to mark in your Bible. Look at verse 21. The first verse that summarizes, it said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Authority structure is one where we are wanting to serve, to submit, to just it's my right. We lay down our rights. The concept of authority structure is a serving person, a loving heart. It's designed by God that way. As followers of Jesus, this is what we do. And if you take the service out of it, and that servant heart out of it, it creates a mess. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do in the Lord. And this is the verse that has been ridiculed in our culture. It's just been ridiculed over and over and over again. But it's a heart of the servants. What is your heart attitude toward this? Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. This is a structure that God has put in place. Now jump to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And ladies, I just ask this question, what would it be like to be living in a home where your husband loved you enough to give up his life for you on a consistent daily basis, as Jesus did? That's the way God designed it. It's based on a servant, a loving heart that mirrors God's heart. You separate the two, disaster. Disaster happens. And then we tend to say, well, God's design is flawed. No, it's not. Ladies, I'm not asking you. The Bible, God is not asking you to submit, quote, to an abusive relationship and just stay in it for the sake of the relationship because this is what God says. No. Husbands, you know, this is not the verse we use to say we're going to beat our wives into submission. We're missing the whole concept intended by God, the whole design. There's so much more. And I'm really struggling because this is not the focus of the message. This is simply one aspect of authority. But it's a principle that God has put in place. Let's look at children a little bit. God has given you parents. Children, are you listening to me? God has given you parents to enable you to learn the concept of authority. God has placed parents over you. Even if they aren't godly parents. Even if their parents make mistakes or have hard attitudes and respond to situations. You know, if my kids were looking at me and this was the only picture they got of Jesus was seeing me, I'd hate to know what they think of Jesus looks like. Because I ain't perfect by a long shot. No amens in the front row. And but children, these are the parents that God has given you. And God is asking. He's saying you learn to respect their authority. And God will bless your life. And you that will give you the tools to move throughout your entire life learning to respect authority. It's founded in the home. And parents, we have a responsibility. Well, we'll get to that. Look at these couple verses. Proverbs 15, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Ephesians 6, 1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. These are familiar verses. Isn't it interesting to me? It's interesting to me how that many times you hear stories of children, oftentimes young men, they rebel against their parents and they just can't handle living at home. I got to get away. I got to get out of Dodge here. This ain't working. I can't handle living with my mom and dad. And what do? They go and they join the military. It's like, duh, what are you thinking here? I mean, you talk about an authority structure. You know, the military is an extreme model of an authoritarian principle or structure. But why do they do that? Because it's essential. It's essential for the success of the military. And this authority structure is essential for the church to operate in the way that God intended it to. Renee is laughing here. I think he knows from experience what I'm talking about. We have a family feud going on. Okay. And dads, I'm going to throw one thing out to you, dads. You know, you talk about the authority thing. And look at verse 4 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. How many of you husbands, I need you to be really honest with me to help me out here a little bit. How many of your husbands have ever had your wife bring this up to you, this verse? Yeah. Have any of you men had your wives mention this verse to you? Thank you. We're going to have a counseling session afterward in the back. I need support. Because it's happened. And it don't feel good. It's like sometimes as guys we get into this authority, you know, we begin to say, this is the way it's got to go. And we lose that servant heart. And I believe that's the heart of this verse here. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't just be this boss, this commander in chief of the home. All right, so I've simply used the home as one illustration of how God uses, how God is using the home to model in us the principle of authority. To develop in us this concept. Second place, and we're going to go quickly through these. The workplace. By the way, tomorrow's Labor Day. Department of Labor website. Labor Day. The first Monday in September is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievement of American workers. Okay, this is from when it was first started, back in the 1800s. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. So they're setting Labor Day apart as a way to recognize what all workers have done. If you read further on the website, it says that it was established so that workers could go and spend time with their families aside from the workplace. The time it was established, I found that interesting. That they recognized the value of the family in the 1800s, and they set this day aside. Now, all right, what do we do here with the workplace and the concept of authority? Look at verse Ephesians 6, 5-9. It
says this way, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. This is not talking about, this is tough stuff. This is talking about a hard attitude toward an employer, someone who is over you. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. How many of you can see your boss and see them and view them as Jesus? That don't work. Tyler's saying, I know my boss ain't like Jesus. He works for his dad. but what is that heart attitude? That's saying, man, I want to serve my boss. I want to serve the workplace as if I were serving Jesus. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And then he flips the coin. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Again, relating on a rubber meets the road, the workplace, in a way that models God's structure of authority. It's a hard attitude. Let's take government. Romans 13, 1-6. Again, we're just flying through these just to give you a snippet. Romans 13, 1-6. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. It's a tough verse. Even governments that are oppressing those who follow Jesus, who are persecuting, God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted or what God has put in place. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. And then he goes on with this. He supports himself. He says, you want to be free from authority of the government? Do what's right. They'll leave you alone. Most of the time. Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. And this is a key verse. Look at verse 4. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. You see what I'm saying? An authority structure that couldn't be ungodly, God is using that to help develop in us character that is making us more like Jesus. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. Verse 5, therefore it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of punishment, but also a matter of conscience. And if you hate paying taxes, verse 6 is right there. This is also why you pay taxes. It should be April 15th message. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. I'm talking about heart attitudes toward authority. God has put this structure in place. Even if it's not biblical, what is our heart attitude toward it as followers of Jesus? And then we have the church. And I just want to, one verse there. 1 Peter 5, 1-3. We're not going to go there. But again, church leadership is a call to service. It's not a call to be the big bad pastor who keeps everybody walking the straight line. It is a call to service. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders, submit to their authorities. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. I wonder if more of our pastors would take that to heart. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Again, the church is part of the authority structure. Now let's go back to that first PowerPoint for me, if you can, Chris. Just real quick, throw that up there. Do you see? The question I'm going to ask you is, why has God placed these four areas of authority over us?
Why has he done it? He has done it to help us. He has used it as, what's the quote say? Human authority in the hands of a skillful God. God takes this human authority and he uses it to shape us, to mold us, to form us, to be more like him. What is your heart attitude toward these areas of authority? So why has God done this? What does God want us to understand? And let's go to the last PowerPoint. It's very simple. God is a God of order and structure. We're going to look at that in Sunday school the next couple weeks. And he wants us, he uses these cultural structures to teach us to do work in the kingdom. He's preparing our hearts, getting us ready. Are you listening to me? I know it's late, but we got to catch this. This is what I have talked the last half hour for, because you got to get to this point, okay? God is the God of order. He wants us to, he uses these cultural areas, the home, the workplace, the church, the government, to prepare our hearts so that we can do the work of the kingdom. Number two, as followers of Jesus, we are going to be given authority. We have been given authority as a follower of Jesus. And if we have not understood authority through the culture of these four areas, we are not going to be able to properly use the authority that God has given us as followers of Jesus. We have an authority against an enemy, and that enemy is Satan. And the church has been given that authority. If we understand authority, understand how to live under it, we will understand how to use it. And again, authority is not just for our defense, it is offensive. It's not just something we submit to, it's something we have and will use. Are you getting a picture of where we're going to be going in the next couple weeks? We're going to be talking about using the authority that God has given us as followers of Jesus. Christian living is offensive. It's not just sitting in the corner trying not to do wrong. It is about moving out and moving forward as a soldier, as someone who is called to follow Jesus, as someone who has been given authority and to go to war against the enemy. Third thing, we need to understand authority because we're going to be judged by authority. And if we don't have a heart and understanding that God is authority, we're going to have a very rude awakening when we stand before Jesus at the end of time. Skipping ahead to Daniel 7. We're going to stand before the King of Kings, Daniel, in his vision. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, referring to Jesus, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. Repeat, he was given authority. Jesus, by God, was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language, hence my point of a culturally diverse church, of every language worshiping him. Worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. By understanding this concept of authority and seeing, making God our God, we are becoming part of a kingdom that will never be destroyed for eternity. And what are you having for lunch? I know that's all that's on your mind, but could else you be saying amen or something? Four. And I underlined this, I believe, on the PowerPoint. It says we need to learn authority before we can use the authority given to us. We need to learn authority before we can use the authority given to us. And I hope you're catching a picture here this morning while I just did a snippet of these four areas. And we could have spent a lot of time talking about the home. I probably spent too much time, enough to just confuse you. But, and the same with government, et cetera, et cetera. But this is an introduction lesson to using
how God is giving us authority and how we can use the authority in spiritual warfare. Living under authority prepares us to do battle. I was going to look the verse up. Does anybody know it from memory? I can't come up with it in my brain right as I'm thinking here. Something about that your prayers may be hindered, may not be hindered. What's that verse? Anybody help me? Who's got a quick iPhone? Anyhow, don't worry about it. But no one knows it. Raise your hand if you do. Okay, we'll get there. Living under authority prepares us to do battle. And I'm going to say it this way. You may come to God in prayer. And you may say, God, I want you to do, I need you for this. God, I'm praying against this. I'm praying, asking you to move in this way. And if you don't have a heart of understanding and you have a heart of rebellion against authority, you have no power. You have no power to ask God to use His authority. I spoke too low. You have no power to ask God to use His authority if you yourself are not operating under authority. Does that make sense? Okay. See, if I would have said that very first, we could have sat down and everything be done, right? I could have sat down, we could have left, and you guys would have all got it, right? But that's really where I'm going. Really where I'm going here. We want to end. I'm going to, just for the sake of time, I'm going to ask that we're not going to end with a song this morning. Rather, we're going to end with a time of prayer. And what did I do? I totally missed that. What was funny? Oh, we heard the child's... great, got it. Sorry, that flew right over me there. I thought maybe I did something in my subconscious. You know, I'm a paranoid guy up here, okay? Give me a little break here. We're going to end with a time of prayer, but I want to leave you this challenge. I want you to look deep within yourselves and ask yourself, is God speaking to you? Are there areas of authority where you're just digging in your heels and saying, no way, no way? Husbands, fathers, are you abusing the position that God has given you? Serving yourself instead of serving your family, your wife. If that is you this morning, I want you to know that God's grace is enough. And that through just repent of it and just tell the Lord, God, I see it. I ask you to change me. I want you to change who I am. Call on His name. Because God's going to forgive. He's not going to hold that against you. But you need to acknowledge it. You need to repent of it. So in our prayer time this morning, if that's you, I encourage you to open up your heart to the Lord. You can do it right where you're sitting. You don't need to come forward. You can if you want. But I am going to ask all the children, school-age children, to come forward. K through 12, come on up. Actually, college kids too. You're still kids, right? I'm going to ask you just to come up and just fill this front. And the reason I'm asking you to come up is this. This morning, okay, can you guys walk and listen at the same time? Can you do that? Okay, just turn around, face the group, fill in the center here. Younger ones in the front, just fill in the front. Just go ahead, several deep, however you are here. Okay, I'm going to need some... This is school time. I know many of you, school has already started. Some of you will be starting in the next couple weeks, or the next week or so. you college kids, I know you're saying, why are you making me up here? I shouldn't be up here with these K kids, but it's important. There's something about school. I remember in school that one of the hardest things I had to deal with was learning to obey my teacher and do what my teacher wanted. I was forced to because I knew I'd get in trouble if I didn't, but inside I hated it. And we talked this morning in the message about authority. And school is the one of the areas where God can teach you authority. And those of you in college, I'm going to throw this out to you. I went to college at Dell State for one class as a high school student. And when it came for the final exam, the teacher came in, the prof came in, and he laid the test on the on our desks, and then he turned and walked out the door. As soon as he walked out the door, someone whipped out a sheet with all the answers and started passing it around. And when I went to pick up my test at the end, the prof said, I want you to know that you're the only one who didn't cheat, because your answers, though they were right, were arrived at them in a different way in computer programming. And I remember that sheet came across my desk and I just passed it on, not patting myself on the back, but I'm telling you, college students, there's still an authority structure in college, and your integrity, it probably won't be challenged as much as it is in grade school because you're not being watched. But it's still your integrity. Do what's right. Recognize that authority. I just would like us as a church to pray for our students here this morning, that not only for the authority picture, but that God would just bless them with a good year. That God would cause his face to shine upon you. And we want you to have a good school year. Do you want to have a good school year? All righty. Good. I like that. Why don't we stand and let's just pray. And I'm just going to ask some of you in the audience, just pray short prayers of blessing, asking God's favor on these students. Father, we're just bringing our students to you at this time.